I'm not sure you've been following this murder case in Moscow, Idaho, home to the University of Idaho. That's about a 3.5-hour drive due south from the BC-Washington state border, Creston, BC. Moscow police, Idaho state police, the FBI, they're all looking into what's being called a very complex case. It's been 11 days now since four university students were found stabbed to death in their rooms at a home just off campus. Police still have no suspects, no murder weapon as far as we know. They're still asking for tips and surveillance video. Here is Chief James Fry of Moscow, Idaho Police.
This incident has shaken our community, and we continue to mourn for the victims.
How does one individual kill four people at night and not wake up the other two roommates?
I don't even know that information at this point in time, and that's why we're continuing to investigate.
Yeah, it's been a real mystery. The victims were housemates, Madison Mogan, 21, Zana Kernodle of 20, as well as Kaylee Gonsalves and Kernodle's boyfriend, Ethan Chapin, who was from Mount Vernon, Washington. So, of course, there's been an interest in Washington State in this case as well. And that's where we find Garrett Cabeza. He's a reporter with the Spokane Spokesman Review, and he's been covering this case since the outset. He's a breaking news reporter there. Thanks so much for your time on this Friday night.
Hi, Ben. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
It's been I saw some of your early stories on this. I mean, it's been quite the story. This is a really quiet part of America, and this has really rocked the whole community.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very small college town, about 25,000 people or so, and, a very friendly community. And, it really has rocked it. It's something that I don't think people who live there would ever, picture this in their nightmares. So it is just something that doesn't happen in a small town like Moscow.
So what do we know about what happened that night?
Well, I think you hit many of the highlights just a moment ago. Police have been releasing information slowly since the murders happened. They're still... As of recently, there's still no suspects. A murder weapon, which is believed to be a fixed blade knife, has not been found. And some of the updates they provided are ruling out some suspects that are not suspects, but people that have been either thrown in as a suspect via rumor or people who have, maybe had a motive. But so they've ruled out several suspects, but it sounds like they still don't have one.
What happened that night? Because I gather there were six people sort of in this house. Two of them you just were talking about that were ruled out as suspects. But were these four people? What happened to the four victims in that house that night, as far as we know?
Well, two of the victims were found on the second floor. Two of the victims were found on the third floor. It's a large three-story house. One of the victims, Zana Kernodle, and her boyfriend, Ethan Chapin, were at a fraternity house that evening and returned early that morning to the home. And then two other women who live at the home were out in downtown Moscow that night and returned around the same time as the other two victims. And at some point early that morning, they were stabbed multiple times to death, and they were likely asleep. They were found in their beds. The 911 call wasn't made until around noon that day, so right. What's believed to be hours after the killings. And so there were two other roommates in the home at the time of the attacks, and they were ruled not believed to be suspects in the case.
So what are they looking through now? I mean, imagine there's a lot of different investigative paths that they'll start embarking upon, but what are some of the things that they're trying to figure out now?
Well, they've been combing through a lot of evidence at the crime scene. They've received a lot of help. In fact, $1 million worth of help from Idaho State Police. Some of the finer details of those of the evidence collected, Idaho State Police released at a press conference on Wednesday. They've collected 103 pieces of evidence, taken about 4,000 photos, conducted multiple 3D scans of the residence, and processed over 1,000 total tips and 150 interviews. So, you know, that's kind of the work they've done so far. The FBI is involved, and there's a profiler who is kind of trying to figure out what kind of person may have committed the crime. It's unclear, you know, how close they are to solving this crime. They're still asking for video surveillance and tips from people who were in the area or noted anything suspicious. So, you know, it's really hard to tell where they are at in terms of are they close to finding this killer or killers or if they're not.
I guess early on, one of the things that was a bit puzzling was they told the community there was nothing to worry about, and then they walked that back quite quickly, saying, well, they can't really say there isn't a threat. And I guess that people in the area itself, I mean, it's Thanksgiving, sort of the Thanksgiving holiday in the U.S. right now. I guess a lot of people were feeling pretty unsafe about all that had happened, and it sort of started to take off, or certainly police weren't reassuring people with that kind of walking back of the comment.
Yeah, that was one of the things that people in the community, students and families of the victims were angry about, is saying there was no threat to the community and not expanding on why they believe that. And they still haven't, other than they said it was a targeted attack. They haven't gone, police haven't gone into detail of how they know it was targeted. So, you know, that's one of the frustrations that some people have had, is the what they believe to be is a lack of information coming from the police department. You know, that's kind of where we stand.
Right. And the reaction in the community, I mean, I was reading that because Thanksgiving weekend was coming up, a lot of people were taken off, were leaving the area. Students, students, yeah.
Sure. Sorry to cut you off. Some students left early. You know, they're on Thanksgiving break now, but some students left the week of, after the killings, I think because they were traumatized by it. Again, this is a small town where you wouldn't expect something like this to happen. And so I think they were worried that, you know, there is a killer on the loose. And you know, again, I think a lot of the students knew these victims, and it's still unclear whether it sounds like the University of Idaho's plan is to return to in-person classes for the remaining 2 weeks of school. But I think there also may be an online option for students who don't feel safe or just feel too saddened to return to campus, starting on Monday, I believe.
Right. And it must be difficult to cover with all, I mean, in your case, just trying to sort fact from fiction, because I've been seeing so much speculation and so much rumor and innuendo about what may have happened. And it must be difficult just to try to stay focused on just the facts in this one, because clearly, the truth is keeping to the facts is what really matters here, because there's so much speculation going on online.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought it up, because there are a lot of, some of these press conferences, part of them are just dedicated to dispelling some of these rumors that are online and, you know, that people have posted about on social media. So, I've kind of ran into the conundrum of, do I even address this? Because this is something that is just a rumor that, you know, police have not mentioned until they dispel the rumor. So that's kind of a personal thing, like you said, where I've kind of struggled with, I don't know if I want to even mention this because police haven't even mentioned it. They're just dispelling the rumor. So I don't want to, put that rumor out there when police or, us as a news organization haven't put it out there.
Yeah. Nature loves a vacuum, right? Right, Garrett. I mean, that's the problem here, is that it's been such a mystery. And then there's just nothing to fill that vacuum. Right?
Absolutely.
Well, Garrett, thanks so much for keeping us up on this, what's going on in this case. I think a lot of people have been watching it because it is such a mysterious one. And keep up the great work. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, Ben.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.